Even though I walk in a dark and dreary land. That's the way that Bobby McFerrin adapts that line from the 23rd Psalm, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land. Let us say this, sometimes dark and dreary land captures it. It is the place through which we go, the place where we cannot see where we are going. We trip and stumble and despair. We struggle and need help. Whether we call out for help or not, we need it. And there is the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes the land is more than dark and dreary. It's the valley of death. It's actual death, the pain of loss, of grief and absence. Parent, partner, friend, child. Sometimes it is the real valley of death. Sometimes it is those things like death, the pain of endings, the disequilibrium, the disorientation of unwelcome change. Job loss, relationship loss, betrayal by friends, existential despair, profound illness. Sometimes it is the valley of death. And I bet that almost everyone here has sometimes in their life been in the dark and dreary land. And I suspect that most of us have walked in the valley of death. Some of us right now, this morning, this moment, walking in the valley of death. We're struggling to find our footing, unsure where to turn. The weeds choke off the path. During the day, the sun burns too hot. At night, the chill invades our bones. We cannot rest for the howling of the beasts of the wild. Some of us know this valley too well. Some of us just entered. Sometimes by surprise, we got lost and found ourselves here. Sometimes we knew this was coming, and each step over the ridge down into the valley floor was taken with trepidation, and now we're here. Others of us, perhaps, we're like those lost explorers who keep circling the same place. We see the valley, we turn away, trying to find another road, but the only way past grief is through it, and there isn't another road. We just have to walk this one. The valley of death, the dark and dreary land, it is the place of broken hearts and wounded souls. It is a human place because human life is finite. It lasts not forever. Neither life nor any state of affairs in life lasts forever. Everything changes, and sometimes in ways we don't want it to. Human life is finite, and we are imperfect creatures. We make mistakes, sometimes big ones. Others make mistakes, sometimes big ones. Things happen. Sometimes what has been unraveled cannot be rewoven. So it's a human place, this valley of death. It's a place we will sometimes come to. We will. If you haven't yet, I'm sorry, you will. Now, some versions of religions will tell you it's not real. Suffering's just in your head. If you let go enough, the losses won't bother you. Or they say, it's all part of the plan, so don't feel bad. Or you're only suffering because you're being punished for something you did. And if you prayed enough, or you did the right rituals, you'd never have to walk through the valley of death, never spend a day in the dark and dreary land. Some people say that. That's crap. That's nonsense. We suffer sometimes, we all do, because sometimes life sucks. Sometimes it is bad news. And there's no ignoring it, or sugarcoating it, or willing it away. Not if we're honest. Not all the time is it bad news, Not all the time. We're not pessimists or cynics. Sometimes life is wonderful and amazing and joyous and holy smokes, wow. But not always. We Unitarian Universalists try hard to live in reality, admit what is true, that we are finite, that we sometimes err, and that sometimes life sucks. Even though I walk through a dark and dreary land, nothing can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I'm in her hand. Or in the classic King James Version recited so often, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Psalms, like much of the Hebrew Bible, is so honest about suffering. There's no denial. There's no sense of, oh, if we are faithful enough, then nothing bad will happen. They knew that sometimes bad things happen. And the question is thus not, what can we do to avoid suffering altogether? For that is an absurd question. In the Psalms, the wisdom literature, Job, Ecclesiastes, these ancient spiritual struggles are addressed head on. The question is, how do we get through? That's the question. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, and so I will not fear. And I'm here today to testify to you that I have found this to be true. It's true. Well, almost true. Almost true. The part about I shall not fear, that's not true. You fear in the valley of the shadow. You do fear, and there's no getting around that part. But the part about you are with me, and that's how I get through the valley, that part's true. The part about how we're loved by the holy and how that's how we take another step, that's true. The part about how a table is set before us, that's true. I can testify. Every time I've been in a dark and dreary land or in the valley of the shadow of death, every time I have found, if I can see and hear, I found that the Holy is with me. And that in the Holy I found my strength to carry on and to get through. I can testify. I bet you can too. I bet that you too can testify to the power of the Holy to get us through the hardest times of our lives and to walk with us in the valley of despair. I know you can because I've heard you do it, even if you didn't use those words. Let me explain. In my life, when I have found myself in the dark and dreary land, when I found myself unexpectedly, inevitably in the valley of the shadow, I turned to the Spirit. I prayed. I lit a chalice sometimes, I listened to a choir, sing some hymns, and sung along. I prayed more, I wept and held still and prayed some more, and that all helped a little. And then I got on the phone, and I called my friend. And when he said, how are you? I said, well, not so great. Friend, I need your advice, your ears, and your help, and I got it. And I put one foot in front of the other, and I kept walking through the valley. Isn't this how it's been for you too? When you reach out, someone holds your hand? The worst part about walking in the valley is that we feel ashamed, and so we don't ask for help. That's a huge mistake, because I can tell you that everyone walks in the valley. And those who have made the journey or are still on it, they can help you. They want to help you, because if they got through, if they're getting through, it's because someone helped them. My friends who I called in my need, I should call them the ones who can see out windows. Do you have people like that in your life? Someone who can see out windows? Who knows what it is to reach out in need and to help another? Who knows when to stop searching outside and to find the Holy right here with us? When you're in the valley, ask for help and listen to those who are offering it. Open your eyes and your ears to see and to hear. Don't wait for a miracle so extraordinary that you can't miss it. Notice the everyday miracles, the everyday work of the Holy already happening. I have a deeply incarnational theology. For me, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, is embedded into life itself and is made present in every moment. So I adore the parable of the man who lived by the river. It's perfect. I sent you a radio report, a man in a rowboat, and a helicopter. What the hell are you doing here? Our salvation from our troubles doesn't come from a God separate and apart from everyday life. Stop waiting to see the burning bush. You're not Moses. Look around you. The person who gives you a hug when you really need it. For incarnational, humanistic theists like me, that's the embrace of the Spirit of life, too. You pray for wisdom, and a friend helps you to hear your own strength. Your prayer was answered. For me, God is in between us, in between, in all that lives and breathes and hopes and dreams. So I can say those words, you comfort me, you fill my cup to runneth over, you protect me and love me. I can say those words, and when I say them, I see the faces and hear the voices of those who enacted such love in my life. And you don't need to be an incarnational theist to do this. I hope that's obvious to you. If you're a religious naturalist or a religious humanist, it works just as well. If you're a Buddhist or a Taoist, it works just as well. You don't need to believe in God to think this way. If you want to call it the spirit of humanity that reaches out to you in your need, instead of calling it the Spirit of God, then do that. Doesn't matter one lick what you call it. I thought this morning about just sharing the readings and otherwise being silent. Each speaks so beautifully. They tell us the way that we can walk through the valley of death, the dark and dreary land. Listen to the words. See how each finds a way. Rabbi Sasso, that we can look for healing from our pain and a way through the confusion, not by going outside, by long searches in strange lands, but that we find the holy, we find our healing, our power, and our courage when we help one another. When we put in paths and doors and windows, not just between our houses, but between our hearts. My friends have been to me more times than I can count a sacrament, a visible sign of the holy in the world. I bet they have for you too. Tendeika, the responsive reading, I turn to you to renew my life. This common world I love anew. The blood of the ancestors who refused to surrender their humanity, I rise to love you, this world. We're not the first to struggle and to overcome. The power of compassion and caring and memory and hope can overcome our private despair. When you're in the valley of death, one of the best things that you can do is to do some good for others, to reawaken to the larger life, to feel compassion for another, compassion which might spill over so that we have compassion for ourselves. Compassion, not self-pity, compassion, love which lifts us up, which pulls us on, which saves us from ourselves and saves the world from despair. Khaki McTeague's Starlight. Haven't we all been there? Frantic, self-absorbed, critical, in pain, eyes down, and then something catches us by surprise. The stars shine in the heavens, and we are brought to tears, sometimes to our knees, caught up and out of our despair. We are thrown into awe and wonder, reminded of both how small we are in this great universe and reminded of how lucky we are just to be alive. And we take our loved ones into our arms and we bring them outside and show them the stars. the stars from whence billions of years ago we came, and to where some billions of years hence we shall return. And we remember, this too shall pass. And we breathe in and out. And finally this, the sycamore tree. There is no year it has flourished in that has not harmed it. There's a hollow in it that is its death, though its living brims whitely at the lip of the darkness and flows outward. Over all its scars has come the seamless white of the bark. It barrels the gnarls of its history healed over. It has gathered all accidents into its purpose. And are we not so? Our wounds, our pain, our travels through the valley, they make us who we are. At our best, we do not live in denial of our suffering or the suffering of others. We take all accidents into our purpose, to learn from them, to grow from them, that our brushes with pain and loss ought to make us humble and compassionate and grateful for what is beautiful and worthy, for friends and lovers, for laughter and stars and the night sky, for music and art and all that is good. Because when we've been down in the valley, when we walk on those rocky roads, we almost always develop a strength that we did not know we had. We learn how to survive from pain and heal over. And those scars, those marks of pride, those are hard-won marks of beauty, of grace, of wisdom, the gnarls of history healed over. There's a strength and a beauty and innocence and hope, it's true, but there is a power, a deeper strength and a richer beauty in those who have walked through the valley and come round the other side, who love others through their own journey, who bear their scars with love and grace. It is wisdom. It is spiritual power. It is life lived in reality. When you've been scarred over, wear the gnarls of history, and when you walk through the valley and your friends have shown you mercy and love, and you've reached out, even in your despair, to care for others, and you have been reminded by the stars that the universe is bigger than you, and yet you live in it. And when you have taken in the accidents of life into your purpose and made meaning of them, and when you've done all that and survived and thrived even and learned to be yourself at your best, when you've done all that, then I think you can sing with the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the holy, glory and love forever and ever." When you've lost your way and then found it again through the grace of life and humanity and your own inner strength, though through sometimes a strength you did not know you had, and then you know how to help others, and you know that there's something greater than the valley of the shadow of death, that there is more to life than private despair, there is the morning and new beginnings, and there's friendship and love and mercy, and there is life itself, wondrous and amazing, and there is something else, the mystery of the sacred, many named, many weighed, incarnated into all that gets us through the night. And for all these gifts, for all these graces, for the grace which we ourselves can develop through hard-won wisdom, for the grace of love and second chances and third ones, for friends and faith that does not give up on us. For all this, we are grateful beyond measure. Upon all this does our life depend. For all this might we respond. Amen.